Isn't that amazing? I know some of you are just itching to get on one of those trikes, huh? Those things look pretty fun. I've been on them, and you should see me. It's pretty sketchy. Pretty scary trying to go up this little vert wall with one of those trikes. But skateboard, maybe, but trike, I don't know about that. But yeah, it's really cool to see all that God is doing through Flow and just for and in the middle school and high school age group. It's really cool to see just Nick and Jackie, not only with Flow and Skate Church, and just so many amazing things going on for this next generation. We love so much this next generation, and we love all generations. We're intergenerational, but how many of you know that generation, right? From kids, from babies to middle school, high school, all that. It's they're the next leaders, right? And it's really important to invest into them. They have a little bit of a change of schedule for Flow. They took a little break because of all the graduation and just finishing up, you know, school and all that. But they took that break, and now they're launching this week again. And so I think on Tuesdays they're going to be, they're doing something away from the building. And it'll be a variety of different events. You can check out the website and get more specific on that, but it's going to be 10 to 2. And then on Thursday, they'll be here at the Santa Cruz campus, here at the building, having fun and just growing in their relationship with Jesus. And it's good stuff, right? And we are starting a new series this week. It's going to be a 7-week series. We're calling it Nuggets. Nuggets. Right? There's a lot of definitions of what nuggets could mean, but for us today, we're going to call it Nuggets, and it's exploring the book of Proverbs, which is just the book of wisdom, right? There's just so much wisdom that flows out of the book of Proverbs, and I'm really fascinated by this one story in the book of 1 Kings, and how many of you ever played this imaginary game where you've said, if you got one wish, like if you just got one wish, what would it be, right? What would it be? How many of you ever played that? I have too. And you can't say 10 wishes, 10 more wishes, right? You can't. You could, I guess you could do that if you got any one wish. But can you imagine right now? I don't know how long it's been since you've played that game. It's been a while for me. But as I was studying through this teaching, I started to just even ask myself, what would that look like today? What would I wish for? What would I desire? And in Scripture, as far as we know, in the history of the world, at least what we know, that God gave an opportunity. He gave a blank check to one person. He said, basically said, make a wish. Make a wish. Anything. Anything that you want. Anything you desire. I'll do it. I'll grant that wish. How many of you would love to be in that place? Come on, sign me up for that. Where can I sign up for that? And his name is Solomon. Many of you know that story of Solomon, who was a king. And when this happened, he was just crowned a new king. And King David, one of the greatest kings, arguably the greatest kings of all time, a king of Israel, it was his son. And his son Solomon was about 20 years old, and he had a dream. God showed up in a dream, gave him this one wish. He just said, Solomon, whatever you want. Whatever you want, dude. You're my boy. Whatever you want, I'm gonna give it to you. I will hook you up. And Solomon said, what I want is I want wisdom. I want wisdom because I want to be able to know how to lead and govern these great people that you have, right? Israel, all the Israelites. And so God granted him this wish, this request, this prayer. And Solomon became the wisest man that we know of, the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth outside of Jesus, which is incredible. And so because of that, one of the results of Solomon's wisdom was this book that's in the Old Testament called the Book of Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs, and And Solomon is, scholars and theologians would say that he's responsible for 29 of those, the first 29, 1 through 29, and then 30 and 31 were not his. But God wrote the book of Proverbs through Solomon, which I think to me blows my mind a little bit. In fact, the Bible actually says, I think it's in 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles, that Solomon was responsible for, he wrote like 3,000 plus Proverbs, which is amazing. And so 29 of them came into being in this book, Proverbs. So we're going to be, this is going to serve more as an intro to this book and to this teaching series that we're going to be going through for the next 6 weeks beyond today, and in those 6 weeks we're going to dive more deeper into it, and we're going to get a little bit more into the meat of Proverbs. But today, so just bear with me today. It's going to be a little bit more of an intro, but we are still going to talk about some really cool things, because how many of you know God is amazing? Amen. And God's word, if we apply it, will never return back void. You know that regardless of whether you apply it or not, that God says that his word will never, ever return void. That God's word never, ever returns back void. That, to me, is really cool, because it just shows the power of God. In fact, it goes on to say that it accomplishes everything that it was sent forth for. And so, so can we just take a moment real quick, and can we just pray and ask God, would you just open our hearts? We open our hearts to you, and would you just help us even to open our hearts further for just your word, God, because we know your word is truth. We know your word is life. And God, we want to be able to be transformed. And Lord, we just love you and thank you for your word today, this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're gonna talk a little bit about, I want to talk real briefly a little bit about, in context, the book of Proverbs, the who, the why, and the what. The who we just talked about, it's Solomon. But I want to look past Solomon, okay? Because how many of you know that all Scripture is God-breathed? It's really important that we recognize that Scripture is an anchor to our soul, and so we have to understand that all of Scripture, when we read the Bible, that it's not just a history book. It's not just a book that's written by a bunch of amazing authors. It's a book that is written by God. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? I want to be every aspect of my life, every arena, everything that I'm doing, I want to be thoroughly equipped for everything that God has for me. I hope that's the same for you as well. So that's the who. The why is God's desire is for all humanity to live life to the fullest. Real quick, if you're looking in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, it talks a little bit about the reason behind, the kind of the theme or the purpose of the book itself. And that's in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. But again, we need to look really beyond, you know, Genesis, all the way, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, all the way to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, is really so, there's so much in it that if we could spend all of our life just studying God's word. And how many of you know that God's word really is one of the purposes behind it? Yes, for sure, to reveal God, absolutely, to reveal his character, to reveal his nature, to reveal just so much about God. But it's also to lead us into an encounter with him. If we're just studying the Bible and it's just for the reason of studying the Bible and memorizing, like, all that stuff's good, memorize the Scripture, but if we if we don't, if it doesn't somehow lead us into an encounter with him, the person, right, of God, and if we don't apply his word to our lives, we can never see, we will never see change. We just won't. We won't. If you don't apply the word of God, you won't see change in your life. It's just the way it works. So God's desire is for all humanity to live life to the fullest. And we look at even what Jesus said, and it's recorded in the book of John, John 10:10. He says this, that the thief, right, the enemy, Satan, right, the devil, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I've come to give life and more to the fullest, right? And so for us, as we apply the word, God's word to our life, it instructs us, in life, as we do that, we start to grow in this ability to be able to live life to the fullest. God's desire is for us to live an amazing life. In fact, it reveals, you know, it reveals that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And in fact, Jesus, one of the purposes that he said he came for was to do what? To destroy the works of the devil, right? To destroy the works of the enemy. And so God is really, really passionate about destroying the works of the enemy in our lives. And so much so that he sent Jesus, right? So that we could have a relationship with the Father through him. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But so that's the why. But look at the what. The what is God's will is a treasure, and much of it can be discovered through the wisdom that's found in Proverbs. God's will, right? God's purpose, his design, his plan, his desires for you and I. That's his will. And the book of Proverbs is so full that it talks about so many different areas of our life. And in the continuing weeks, we're going to talk about some of those areas. But just to list a few, here's a few. The book of Proverbs talks about marriage. It talks about parenting, relationships, managing money. How many of you need a little more wisdom managing money? Making wise decisions, of course, right? Family, sex. How many of you know that sex is God's idea? Can we say that in church? That sex is in God's idea. The power of self-control. I didn't mean to put that right after sex, but living well, right? Living well, career, trusting God, dealing with anger, community, culture, so many more. That was just a few, really. And Proverbs, you guys have heard this. If you've been coming to Hope for very long, you've heard this scripture, you know, Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5, and it says this. It says, if you trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, right? That's God wants us to grow, and he wants us to learn how to trust in him with all of our heart. How many of you know that takes time? It takes time as we walk with God, as we cultivate and develop that relationship with God. We learn how to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And lean not on your own understanding. That's really easy to do. So easy to do is just you go through something or you're just navigating through life and we just lean on our own understanding, right? What seems right to us, right? What seems right or what seems the best approach for us? In all of your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. If we do all that, it's that the promises that the paths of God that we have in every area of our life will be straight. They won't be crooked. We won't go on crazy detours, but they'll be straight as God navigates us through his word. Amen. I remember I used to live in Pasadena, California. Many of you know that I used to skateboard a lot, and I still skateboard sometimes, but now my body's starting to break down. How many of you know that one scripture where it says, the body is wasting away, but the Spirit of God is being renewed, or your spirit is being renewed every day? I never really thought that was a true scripture until I got to be 40, and now my body's starting to break down a little bit, probably because I abused it so much in skateboarding. But I lived in Pasadena, and I lived downtown, and there was, we used to go just skating through the streets, me and my brother and friends, and there was this one bank, and it was kind of a corporate building, and there was this great handrail, you know, that went down the steps, and it was real long, just perfect handrail that I just, I was... I mean, coveting bad. Like, I wanted to hit that handrail, you know, on my skateboard so bad. But there was always a security guard posted up, like, right there, a big old security guard, always a big security guard that I was just, like, skating by. I'm good, dude, I'm good, you know, like, I just keep skating right by. Didn't want anything to do with that guy. And you get tickets, and, if you skated it and all this stuff, And I just didn't want anything to do with that. I was already a poor street kid anyway. I didn't want to get a fine for skating. But I looked at it every time, and it was like my mouth was salivating, like as if I was at In-N-Out with no money or something. So I skate by. One day, there was this holiday. It was like, I don't know if it's Christmas Day or whatever, but just all of downtown, the buildings and stuff were pretty much nobody was working, and there was still traffic. It was right on Colorado Boulevard, where they do the Rose Parade every year, busy street, and we go skating by, and there's no security guard, you know, and I'm like, I'm totally leaning on my own understanding, because I know I was like, oh, he's probably in the bushes or something. He's going to jump out. And, like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. It's a sting operation. I'm nervous. So I go by, and I was just like, I'm going for it, you know? So I skated up to it, and I was just so distracted, you know, like by all the stuff going on, the traffic. I was distracted. The handrail was pretty long, and so I was a little intimidated by that, but I was like, I got one shot. Like, now's my time to shine, like, right? And so I go up, and I try to do a frontside board slide down it, which means you're looking backwards if you're a goofy footer, and my front foot came off when I ollied. And so next thing I know, I'm straddling the rail. Yeah, and the next generation can feel it if you know what I'm saying. So I'm straddling, and now I'm going backwards like this. And then I just plop to the ground. And of course, my brother and my friends are laughing at me, and the cars are honking at me, and I'm humiliated. I'm kind of feeling like the Cavaliers, and it feels bad. It's not a good look. So then I said, I'm not going to go out like a punk like that, because I look up and there's no security guard still. So I'm just hurting, you know. I get up and I try it again, and the same exact thing happened. Like, it was like a replay, a rerun. Boom! Like, you know, not good. You know, not good down south there. And so I get up and I do it three times in a row. And finally, I lay there and I look up after the third time, right when I fell on my back, and I look up, and there's this huge, just yoked security guard just looking at me, and he's like that, you know. I was so embarrassed, and I never had a chance ever to redeem myself. Like, that was it. Three times, you're out. Three strikes, you're out. Like, you're done. You know, I never had a chance to go back and defeat that handrail, and so, but I do have a daughter. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. God is a God of miracles. Amen. I knew it was wrong. I knew I shouldn't have been doing it. I was leaning on my own understanding, and I paid for it, right? And we do that in life. We lean on our own understanding, and oftentimes when we do that, when we don't line ourselves up with God's word and his principles and what he has to say about our life, his will and all this stuff, a lot of the times the ramifications of life are straddling a handrail, and, you know, it's not... always good, right? Oftentimes, it's actually bad. Look at Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. I like this. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you know his will, his desire for you and me, his purpose? It's perfect. It's amazing. It's good. It's always good. That is his desire for us is like, you know, and we're just growing, aren't we? Aren't we just growing and learning that we can trust him? That when we do take, and as hard as it might be sometimes, we take his word and we apply it to our lives, and we see the blessing that comes from that. We see the fruit, right? The good fruit, or the good results, I should say, out of that. And then so we start to grow. And then the more we see that track record, that God has this incredible resume, right, that we can learn how to trust him and grow in that ability to trust him. And it's so good. It's really such a fun, such a good journey. Not always easy, but it's a good journey. So I'm going to go through a few things real quick that I think is definitely helpful and pertinent as we just intro this amazing, beautiful book called Proverbs. And the first one is, if you're taking notes, God's will is always applicable. God's will, right? His word, his desire for us, it's always applicable. We always have the opportunity of applying it to our lives. It's very, very applicable. James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word, right? Because it's real easy to do that. Like, I'm not saying it's super easy, but it is easy to listen to what I'm saying right now. Like, we're talking about the word of God, or whether you're reading the Bible, you're reading the word, or somebody else tells you the word. Like that part's not as hard, right, to listen, right, to be listening to the word. But it says this, it goes on to say, and so deceive yourselves. Like, don't just listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's the part that gets a little more challenging, right? Is listening, yes, that's part of it. That's the first step, but then doing it, right? Being on the offensive, right? Just making sure that we apply God's word to our life, because it's always applicable. And when we apply it, we see incredible results. We see that our lives get transformed. Whatever area of life you're talking about, it's amazing. The way that works. And so the second one is, God's will is always our best option. Look at Proverbs 3:21-26. My son or daughters in the house, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. I mean, you know, that's some good news right there. The next is, God's will is always full of purpose. I quote this scripture often because I just think it's so important. I don't think that you and I can hear it enough, because so constantly I think we underestimate the power and the value of this truth, of this promise. But Jeremiah 29:11, right? For they know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, right? He wants to prosper us, is what it says there. He wants to prosper you, not to harm you. He plans to give you and I a hope and a future. God's design for your future is amazing. That's why I say things like all the time, like, your best days are ahead of you, right? Because this promise speaks to our future, right? And so it doesn't mean that it's not going to be rough at times. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hard times, right? Jesus even promised that. He said, in this life, you'll experience much trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so we know that we have a God that desires to prosper us, and we have a God that desires to give us an amazing future, one that's, as Jesus said, a life and more to the fullest, right? And two, he also says, this to me boggles my mind, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no thought has entered into the mind of man, the plans that he has for you and me. That tells me this. That tells me that the only one that sees it, the only one that knows it, the only one that hears it, it's him. He's the only one. And yet we go around oftentimes and we're trying to figure it out in our own strength. We're trying to figure it out all the time just on our own. And we don't go to the architect. We don't go to the creator, the one that created us. And every single one of you, it looks different. Every single one of you, God has an amazing future, and it looks different, right, than mine. His calling, right, his purpose, his design for your life looks different. But make no mistake about it, my friends, It is amazing, and he's the only one that knows it. He's the only one that knows. So it really is in our best interest when we do cultivate that relationship with God, right? Because there is nobody in this room that was designed to not have a life that is full of purpose. And he's the one that knows what that purpose is. And it's so good that we have access to God. Amen? The next is, God's will is always obtained by pursuit. Always obtained by pursuit. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, God's not trying to hide things from you. He's hiding things for you. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. It's kind of like when my daughter was young and I play hide and go seek with her when she was real young, like, you know, 2 and 3 years old. She you know, I wasn't gonna hide in the attic. You know what I mean? Like, where she could never ever find me. Like, I'll hide behind something and you know, I'll stick my butt out or something, you know, so she could see me, you know, and she comes and runs and she sees me and she finds me. The goal for me wasn't that she couldn't find me. The goal for me was for her to find me. And every time she found me, it was so much fun. She would just giggle and laugh, and she would just think she just accomplished, you know, something incredible, right? And that's the beauty of the way that God designs us and his relationship with us, that we have a good, we just sang about it, a good, good father, right? We got a good, good father, and he's hidden stuff for us, and he loves that part of the journey and that part of the process where we pursue him and we discover him. And when we discover him, we discover his design and his will and all that. And it really can be a lot of fun. You know, it's this incredible thing that we have the opportunity to pursue God. I love Jesus. He says that if you ask, you'll what? Receive, right? If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. I'll tell you what. Anytime and every time that we knock on our dad's door, he's always so willing and happy to open it up and just say, come on in, come on in. He loves spending time with us. He loves being with us. He loves just being able to help us understand his design for our lives and just the purpose that he has for us. I love I was thinking about this. Obviously, you know, I'm a basketball fan, but I was thinking about, I think it was like late 1970s, NBA changed it was a real big change. They introduced the three-point line. And for some of you don't know what that is, you know, break it down real quick. Before, every single basket that you make, whether you dunked, whether you had a layup, whether it was a jump shot or whatever, was worth 2 points. When they introduced the three-point line, it's that arc. And if you're standing behind that and you make the shot and you drain it, it's 3 points. It's worth 3 points. And so Steph Curry, who I think, even though I'm rocking a KD jersey, I love me some KD. But for me, this is just my opinion. It's not in the word of God, so you can't bank on it. But I feel like Steph should have been the MVP. That's just me. But either way, it could have been cool, co-MVP, but Durant, like, whatever, that's rad. But Steph... I think it was a couple of years ago, he became one of seven people to be in this elite club called the 90-50-40 club. Okay, and what that means is that every time he goes to he gets fouled and he goes to the free throw line and he's shooting, you know, the baskets, he's 90% of the time, over 90% of the time, 9 out of 10 times, he'll make it, which is incredible, right? That's incredible, especially when you see people like Shaq, and he's like shooting like a grapefruit or something like that. He's like 40%. But then the next one is 50%. That's from 2 point, right? Anything in in front of that ark, he's 2-point shot, right? And he's 50%. That one out of every two times, like he's making a basket. And then the 3-point line, he's in the 40% club. So 4 out of 10 times he shoots that ball from 3-point distance, he scores, which is incredible. So to be in that elite club is incredible. But how many of you know that Jesus is in the 100 club? That he's perfect, that he lived a perfect life, and the way he leads and guides us, his word, everything, his character, the way he loves us, the way he pursues us, the way he provides for us, the way he interacts with us on a daily basis. He's 100. He's perfect in all of his ways. That right there is good news, my friend, because he will never let you down. He will never fail you. He's batting 1,000. And we have this king. We have this friend. We have this Lord. We have this leader. We have this God that loves us so much that we get to have a relationship with him. How cool is that? It doesn't get better than that. It really doesn't. It doesn't get better than that. So in closing, I just want to say, so again, this is just an intro to the book of Proverbs, and you know the cool thing about it is that even as we study the book of Proverbs throughout the next remaining weeks, is that we can grow in wisdom. That's good. But here, if I can leave you with one thing, here's what this has been my prayer as I've been studying this for this teaching, is that I want to see God provoke a hunger in us for him, and a desire for his word, and a desire to grow in wisdom. And a recognition, and if I could see that our hearts would elevate in our ability to be able to trust him and the purpose he has for our lives. Because in the book of Proverbs, so much of that is found. Amen.